Alrighty, folks. Well, it is 6 p.m. now, so we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight to the second neighborhood meeting for this project, the Type 2 General Plan Amendment and Rezoning south of Moore Road and east of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. My name is Kyle Packer. I'm a senior planner here with the town of Oro Valley, and I'm going to be tonight's facilitator, and I'm also the lead planner reviewing this project. So my role tonight as a facilitator is neutral. I want to give you the opportunity to understand the project, obviously, express any concerns, and then similarly see if we can resolve any possible issues that you may air tonight. First, I'd like to ask you to take a moment to review the ground rules here on this first slide. Go ahead and just, I know it's a small group, but just give me a head nod or a thumbs up if you agree to those ground rules. Awesome. I assume the rest of you that didn't are just big troublemakers, and I'm ready for it. So we're going to be summarizing your comments tonight into meeting notes. Melini will be taking notes via the computer there in a few minutes. So those will be posted to the town website and taken into account as we formulate our recommendation for this project. Again, we're scheduled to go to 7:30 p.m. tonight. We've got a pretty small crowd, so we may not last that long. However, if you need us afterwards, if we do end up going that full time, staff and the applicant will be available afterwards for further questions and comments. Some final housekeeping notes. Please be sure to silence your cell phones. If you need restrooms or water, those are available out the doors to the right. And please hold your questions and comments until the presenters are finished. For those of you joining us online via Zoom, you're going to be muted until the question and answer portion of the evening begins. If you need any technical assistance, please reach out to Michael Spaeth at 520-229-4812. So just to review where we are for this project, we had an informational video posted on ovprojects.com back in September of last year and held the first neighborhood meeting in October. We've now received the formal submittal from the applicant, and staff have reviewed that for code compliance. And we're now at the second neighborhood meeting. Moving ahead, we're going to be obviously holding Planning and Zoning Commission public hearings, as well as a town council public hearing. So by a show of hands, how many people received a yellow postcard here tonight? Looks like a few. For those of you that didn't, I'm glad you signed in, because that will be how we're going to add your name to the list so that you do receive that yellow postcard in the future. For those of you that are online with us via Zoom, you can reach out to ask@orovalleyaz.gov. And that'll be the best way to get added to that mailing list. Again, just be sure to sign in either with us at the front here or online at askorovalleyaz.gov if you want to be added to that mailing list. I'd like to now take a moment to review tonight's agenda. I'll first provide background information about the town and the town processes and the property here. Then the applicant will walk us through what is being proposed, and it's important to note that this request is to develop private property and is not the town's proposal. All property owners have the right to request review of their development proposal, and it's their charge to create, justify, and seek town council review and consideration. Furthermore, the town is required by state law to process these requests. The town provides this service and requires applicants to hold neighborhood meetings like this at the front end of the process before commission and council meetings. This leads us into the next step, as it's going to be the most important part of the night, and that is to hear your comments and questions to inform the final proposed project. Listed here are some of the concerns you identified during the initial neighborhood meeting. Finally, I'll be concluding with some next steps on how you can stay involved. And one more time, with a show of hands, how many of you were here for the first neighborhood meeting? Okay, just a few folks. Alrighty then. So I'll go through the information. A lot of this, for those of you that were here at that first neighborhood meeting, may be familiar, but again, we'll review it just for those new folks that are here this time around. This is the obvious location for the proposal. It is south of Moore Loop Road and east of Rancho Vistoso Boulevard between Valley Vista and Horizons and just west of Big Wash. The applicant's proposal for this area is 56 one- and two-story detached homes on just as many lots with one access point off of Moore Loop Road. This requires a Type 2 general plan amendment as well as a rezoning. So, looking to the history of this parcel, this property was annexed into the town in 1987 and was assigned Rancho Vistoso PAD, or Planned Area Development, zoning of medium high density residential, or MHDR. However, in 2009, through a larger general plan amendment and rezoning process, the zoning for this property shifted from medium high density residential to cultural institution. And that was to accommodate what at the time was intended as an Amphi school site. And looking at this current proposal, this requires a rezoning within the Rancho Vistoso PAD and is proposed to shift from that cultural institution zoning, which allows uses such as churches and public and charter schools, to medium density residential, actually a little bit lower than the previously recognized zoning, equal to the zoning for Valley Vista and actually a lower density than the zoning for Horizons. Separate from the property's zoning is the general plan land use designation. This proposal requires a Type 2 general plan amendment to change the general plan land use designation from school on that right-hand top image to medium density residential. And just to back up for a bit, what is a general plan? It's a long-range policy document that provides a vision for the town's future that has been ratified by voters and also includes a land use map that identifies preferred land uses for areas within the town. So while they share a name in this area, the general plan designation of medium density residential shows the community's general intent for the area, and the Rancho Vistoso planned area development zoning, which is also medium density residential, really shows the specific design standards, the minimum or maximum lot size, setbacks, height, elements of that nature. Moving quickly back to the general plan, it was recognized with the general plan when it was ratified by voters that amendments would be made throughout the lifespan of the plan. And specifically, this plan describes that a specific amendment process, which includes tonight's neighborhood meeting, be used due to the robust public engagement process. With that in mind, the plan also includes amendment criteria for evaluating amendment proposals, specifically down here, general conformance to the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies, and that it appropriately addresses neighbor concerns. Returning to that Rancho Vistoso planned area development, medium density residential zoning, the allowed standards are for a minimum lot size of 5,000 square feet, a maximum height of 30 feet or two stories, whichever is more restrictive, and yard setbacks of 20 feet in the front, 5 feet on the side, and 10 feet in the rear. Between these standards, the Oro Valley Zoning Code, and the general plan, staff have reviewed the formal submittal to ensure code-compliant design. Now, shown here are, again, some of the issues identified previously, but those obviously don't limit us to what we can talk about tonight. So if you have any other concerns or topics you want to bring up, please feel free. I'll also turn it over to Mr. Olin now to go ahead and share the applicant's presentation and discuss how some of these issues have been addressed.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Paul Oland. representing the property owner, who's also the applicant. Adding to the history that Mr. Packer just offered, I wanted to show the first site plan that we had presented when we first came in with this project, and was actually shown at the first neighborhood meeting late last year. So this site plan is what we had proposed. Same number of lots, but the main feature here is that's different is that this northern bank of lots right there, we're all facing sort of northeast toward Valley Vista, and that was not surprisingly one of the strongest concerns that we heard at that first neighborhood meeting was concerns about privacy, folks being able to look into the Valley Vista lots, and also just the proximity of those homes. They were, you'd have the Valley Vista lots, and then a little bit of common area you can see on this aerial photo, right behind the lots, but north of our green boundary there. That's a little bit of drainage area and actually a slope there that's within the Valley Vista subdivision. We had proposed a strip of green there. If I draw on it, it'll block it all out, but, right there, basically. That's also some common area to accommodate some grading and drainage, but we took a look at that. Actually, one of the neighbors who was at the first one suggested that why don't we just like flip the whole site plan around and see how that worked, to try and get all of those lots, basically 1 through 23, facing in the other direction. And that actually turned out to be a really good suggestion. So after that meeting, we went out and met with several folks along this front edge. I think there were four or five who took us up on the offer to meet. And what we did was meet them out in their backyards. And we had poles out here representing where the lots were going to be, kind of where the house locations were going to be, so we could analyze what the actual visual impacts were. So what we did, though, was actually revise the site plan first. So we flipped those houses and lots backwards so that the poles that we were looking at during those meetings were actually these revised locations. So they pull the homes further away from the existing homes. I think the closest they get is about 155 feet, and then others are further. They're also, again, facing away. So they're all, the backyards of all these homes are facing up toward this hill rather than toward Valley Vista. So that was a good change. I think it pulled those homes further away, addressed that privacy issue. We've also had a question about trail connectivity during that meeting. So there's an existing trail that kind of comes down along this bank protection, which when I rezoned Valley Vista, that was a requirement of that rezoning, was to install a trail there. So that's how we did it. So the plan here is to continue that trail down here along the edge there. There will be a continuation of that bank protection, just like we did up at Valley Vista, and the trail will be pulled down there to provide that final connection, because that's as far as the bank protection is ever going to go on the west side of Big Wash. It will dead end into this hillside, and it won't go any further. So that's actually an improvement over Amphi's plans. When Amphi had the property, and they no longer own it, which is why I'm here, they had planned to put some school buildings and parking scattered throughout the site, and then they had proposed ball fields out here in the area that's prone to flooding. So obviously what we're going to be doing is leaving all of that area entirely as zoned open space that can never be developed. So that's another upgrade. In terms of internal trail connections, these will be public streets, just like we did on Valley Vista. So if someone is on Moore Loop and they want to access the trail along Big Wash, they can come walk along the sidewalk that we'll have internally, and then we've provided some trail connections out to that where the path is going to be. So And I recognize that there's very similar opportunities to get to the trail within Valley Vista, which is how we designed it. So really very similar to Valley Vista, same zoning, a lot of the same engineering design. The land is very similar. It slopes down from Moore Loop toward Big Wash. So just like the Valley Vista homes, these homes will step down in elevation. The homes at the bottom here, this row, will probably be on some fill dirt, just like this edge here, and the ones up here will be at regular grade. So I wanted to mention also, traffic came up. There was a question at the last neighborhood meeting about traffic and traffic volumes, potentials there. So in the history of this property, since it was originally zoned as part of Rancho Vistoso in the mid-80s, as Mr. Packer mentioned, this is the least impactful of the land uses that this particular property has had. The medium high density goes up to 8 homes per acre, and school, obviously, during pickup and drop-off has humongous impacts. Fairly quiet outside of those pickup and drop-off areas, but we've seen over on Naranja and other places in town, those pickup and drop-off times really crunch down. So our overall density here is about 1.5 homes per acre. So the medium density does go up to 5, I think, but we're capping ourselves at this 1.5. So that's gross density. That's how the general plan talks about densities. It takes the overall site plan, overall boundary, and you just divide the number of lots, and that's how you get your general plan density. So when Mr. Packer was talking about medium density versus high density, things like that, the general plan has density categories that sound a lot like the zoning density categories. They don't always line up, but in this case they do, and we're just requesting medium density, general plan, and medium density zoning, just like we did when we zoned Valley Vista. So let's see. I think the other thing that people voiced some concern about was the drainage coming off of the hill from Horizons. And who hears from Horizons? Anybody? You're from? No? Okay. You guys from Valley Vista? The rest of you guys? Okay, cool. So for the folks up in Horizons, you probably know that at the end of Bridal Veil Falls, which is this street right here, there's a big drainage spillway that kind of comes off the end of that. And that has been a real drainage issue for many years. I think it's been repaired at least 4 times. There's currently, right about at that dot, there's currently a pretty big undercutting of the end of that spillway. So we've talked to the Vistoso Community Association. They reached out to us and they said, "Hey, we've got this ongoing maintenance issue. We want to solve it once and for all." So they've actually got a drainage engineer, Bogardus Engineering, who has put together a design to basically armor that spillway all the way down to where the land really starts to get more gradual in its slope, which means that it won't erode as much. It'll slow down by the time it gets to the bottom of the channel he's proposing, and then once it's off of that, it'll spread out a little bit. So what they asked us for is an easement to accept that drainage where they're proposing to drain into our property, and also a commitment to convey that drainage in our own drainage design out to Big Wash, where it ultimately gets today, but it's just flowing all over the land. So we have absolutely committed to that, told them we will grant that easement, and we've got preliminary plans from their drainage engineer and given them to our engineer, and so they're talking, and they've determined that they can accommodate that flow from Horizons and route it through our subdivision safely. So I think that covers the changes that we've made. That covers the change we made. So as Mr. Packer said, happy to answer questions at that time. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Oland. We are now going to get to the part of the evening where you have the opportunity to speak. However, first I'm going to start just obviously by explaining a bit about that process. We've got a few folks here in the room tonight, as well as a few more on Zoom. So we'll be doing asking a few questions here and then swapping and asking a few questions on Zoom. For those of you that are on Zoom, we'll ask that if you're on the phone, you press *9 to raise your hands. And when you're called upon to speak, you may need to unmute on your end, and you'll do so by pressing *6. For those of you that are on tablet devices or laptops or computers, any other of that sort, you should see a raise hand button to raise your hand. It may be underneath the three dots for more options. Similarly, if you need to unmute yourself when you're asked to do so, you will find a microphone either with or without a slash through it, and removing the slash through that should allow you to speak. So with that out of the way, I'd like to just start by asking if there are any facts about the project or jargon that you'd like clarified after both presentations.
Could I ask a question about the general amendment? You said it was by vote, so is that for all of Oral Valley?
Yeah, so the general plan is done every 10 years, and we're actually just starting the plan for the next one. The last one was accepted in 2016. That was the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. This next one that we're beginning the process for very soon is will be 2026 is when the vote should be occurring on that one. Yes, the vote for this project will happen before the vote for the general plan. Those are separate. The general plan is voted on by the entire community. It's all of the voters within the town limits. Yeah.
The general plan amendment being considered by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they will vote and they will take public testimony. They're going to invite all of you to come and speak before them. They will vote to make a recommendation, okay? And then usually about a month after that, it's scheduled to town council. And again, you'll be invited to come provide testimony, and then town council will have a final vote. Whether or not to approve, deny, or amend with conditions. So that's helpful.
Okay, so amendments can take place at that final time in addition to any other time prior?
Yes. So that's what happens in between those 10-year periods, and the plan was designed to accommodate that. So does that help clarify? Great. All righty.
All righty. Thank you. At this time, if there are any other questions, I forgot to mention that we will be having Alexandra walk around, and she will be passing the microphone. For those of you that are online, they can only hear us if we're speaking into the microphone. So that'll be how we'll kind of manage the questions and everything as well. Again, if you need any technical support, please contact Michael Spaeth at 520-229-4812. Otherwise, at this time, I'd like to open it up to have folks ask their questions.
Yeah, I've got a quick question about that land to the east of the houses that are shown on the plan. Is that to remain desert as it is in Big Wash, or will it be? Or are you going to do anything with that other than leave it as desert and then have a small section there, kind of like you do on the Valley Vista, just off the levee there.
Hello? Sorry.
Yes, sir. You're talking. So this is the area that we own that is part of Big Wash. The county owns everything out there. So everything that I just circled will be left alone.
All right, thank you. Are there any other questions?
I'm wondering why there are two stories being developed in this area when everything else on Moore Loop is a single story, and especially in particular those two homes at the very edge of the property line where the road comes in.
One and two.
What are they going to be? Because they're right behind my house.
Sure.
Thanks. Yeah, so I can tell you for certain that one and two will be one story. They have to be. The way the zoning code works in this case is that just like Valley Vista was allowed to be two, but Pulte didn't elect to offer two stories. The home builder in here may make the same election. I don't know, but we'd like to keep the option open for them. That said, there are restrictions that Oro Valley places on any development. So basically, any units that are on an end, like 1, 2, 3, 9, 10, 12, you know, all these that are on ends, those all have to be single story. And in addition, there can't be any more than two stories in a row. So even outside of those end units, you end up with at most half of them. Half of the homes being two-story. Again, these are the same size lots that are in Valley Vista, and Pulte is one of the builders we're talking to. They are interested. So, whichever builder ends up on here, we just want to keep that flexibility open because, especially with the restrictions that there are on two stories and with flopping over the homes to face the other way. And with all the Horizons homes being at least 60 feet higher, we feel that it's an appropriate thing in here to have that as a potential, just like it was on Valley Vista.
I don't understand a word you said.
So,
did you just say that the developer is going to have the option, all one story or combination?
Yes.
Why can't it be one story all everywhere? In other words, you've got an option to build houses, but why can't they all be from the get go one story? Where does the option thing come in? Aren't you guys setting the parameters for what you're building?
Yes, sir. So the zoning. The medium density zoning in the Rancho Vistoso master plan, which is the same zoning that Valley Vista has, it allows two-story homes. So what we're proposing is to rezone this to that medium density zoning category, which includes the provision for two stories, which is the same zoning that Valley Vista has. So when Pulte came in and bought Valley Vista, when we rezoned that, we said it could be one or two stories within the medium density zoning. Pulte elected to only offer one story models, but they could have done one or two. And so we're just proposing to have the same flexibility for this piece, but it's within the zoning.
So it would be up to the person who buys the lot, whether they want a single story or a double story, or I don't understand.
Sure, it's a mix. So It is, there's a strong buyer preference for single story. I mean, if people can get the square footage that they want on one story, they'll buy that all day long. If a buyer comes in and says, well, I would like this model here because it's got more bedrooms, you know, it's got a bonus room, whatever, right? It's a two-story model. At that point, the salespeople will say, okay, well, you can only do that on certain lots.
Would be how many square feet?
You mean in terms of the house size? I'm not sure at this point. That would be up to the builder, but it's the same size lots that Valley Vista is. So, you know, in theory, it would be similar house footprint, but two stories.
800 square feet, then it could be 5,200 square feet on the two-story lot?
Well, I don't think that there's any builders out there building them that big. Yeah, all the ones we're talking to, their two-story models are, you know, a partial two-story where the first floor footprint is bigger than the second floor, which also achieves some, you know, variation in the facade along the streetscape. Yeah.
Two-story deal is that doesn't the city have any say in what they build?
So with this... So this is a discretionary ask. This is a rezoning process. So at this time, the applicant is seeking the underlying zoning, or rather the medium density residential zoning. And again, that is the standard entitlements that come with the medium density residential zoning. There could be in the future conditions placed if that was proposed by Commissioner Council and accepted, but at this time, staff hasn't recommended such a condition.
So that's an issue for on down the road, is what you're telling me.
That is something that could be considered in the future. Mm-hmm. Let's go to this gentleman here.
I'm concerned about... Can you move to your right? Thank you. This is the first time I've seen the map, and I think properties 1 through looks to be about maybe 20. Those are the properties I think will back up to Pulte's lots 1 through 19 with the pump station at the end. Are you following me?
I'm hearing you.
Okay. If indeed your builder or your powers to be wish to go both ways, i.e., one story, two story, in the principle of fairness, and again, I think I'm correct that your lots that back up to Pulte's 1 through 19, could there be a concession made, because that involves property owners that obviously bought lots 1 through 19. Could it be the concession be made by your powers to be and yourself that those homes are identified as single story only? Because I think you follow my trend in that I know you flipped them. I think your front doors are going to face our backyards, which is a concession that you've already made. I think, excuse me, that's good. And taking it a step further, we're all human. We don't want, I'll use the word, feces in our backyard. So by eliminating two stories in our backyard, that concession would be greatly advantageous to us that purchase those lots for our views.
Sure. So you're on lot 17. Am I remembering that correctly?
18.
Dan's on 17. Okay, I was one lot off.
You were in my backyard.
I was in your backyard, yes. And I remember looking out at the 30-foot pole that we had on, it must have been lot 21, perhaps, because you're right here, and I think we had a pole right here. I remember discussing and looking at that and noting that it wasn't going to have a significant impact on the views. So I guess... You're right. I mean, that could be a concession, but I don't think that it's It's warranted. I think if we still had the homes flipped the other direction, I would completely agree. We don't want two stories looking down into your yard. But what we're talking about are homes that are half a football field away, facing in the opposite direction, and not having an impact on the views, which is why we went out and visited and looked at those poles that we had out there. So, that's not something we would like to do. Offering two stories on some of these allows larger homes to be constructed. People are wanting more square footage, and it also results in a higher average property value within this subdivision, which tends to provide good comps for anybody who wants to sell in nearby subdivisions. So I would not want to do that because I don't think it's warranted, and it benefits the project to have the option, just like Pulte had the option to.
Is this all recorded so that what I've just got you saying in your rebuttal is taken? Somebody down the line is going to hear this. So ultimately, I'll save the question, ultimately, who makes that decision? Because I want to go, while I'm here, I want to make sure, unless this gentleman wants to do it, there's a, I don't know what you call it, the houses up on the hill above us. I don't know what you call it. There would be to my left on that map.
These guys?
Yeah. There's a large discrepancy between the mass area between those homes and your proposed homes to our, where we're situated, into what you are going to build. You're pushing everything towards us.
I got you. So the reason for that is that there's a hill, a significant hill. The top of it is here, and the bottom of it is there. And so this is all hillside. This is all hillside. It wouldn't be gradable. It's too steep. So in Rancho Vistoso, in the master plan, it has protections for slopes that are 25% or greater. The rest of Oro Valley, the parts of Oro Valley that have standard Oro Valley zoning have protections for 15% slopes and greater. The Stoso is an older master plan with some older rules, so that's what they did back then. Let me clear this. I think you can actually... Yes, yeah, so... I apologize. It's a little bit difficult, but if you can look on this map, there's a light red crosshatching on some of the slopes. It may be easier to see on your handout, but that's all protected slope area, so we wouldn't be able to grade back into that slope. So in other words, the result is that if you look at the big picture, the gradable, the developable area is kind of like that. And so we've already used up this for Valley Vista, and now we're proposing to use the remainder of the flatter part for this.
So I guess my question to you is, as a homeowner on Kalalu, with my backyard facing a slope, how much protection is there going to be for traffic noise and... anything else in terms of this little area here? I see trees, but are you going to have an 8-foot wall? What are you going to do?
Yeah, great question. So that was actually, I forgot to mention that. That was something that was requested at the last hearing, was a wall and some additional landscaping. So we agreed to that. We have a 5-foot wall planned along that edge it's higher than you are. So our land is higher than yours. So 5 feet is actually... more than 5 feet? It's not... Yeah, okay. Well, I just heard you say it's nothing.
My concern, too, is we had our first monsoon this year. We were not used to
what happens with the drainage for this area? What are you going to do to protect those waters eroding my backyard?
Sure. Well, the simple answer is we're not allowed to impact the drainage on Valley Vista at all. That's town regulation. Just like when we did Valley Vista, we had to show where all the drainage. So up, if it's not on the map, but like there's a lot of drainage coming in off of, right? Yeah. So we had to analyze all that and figure out where it's going, how to get it through the Valley Vista subdivision that we were designing, and then spit it out into Big Wash. And so what we'll have to do here is figure out, how do we take care of the drainage that's coming in off of Moore Loop? How do we take care of the drainage that's coming in off of this hill, including that Bridal Veil piece? There's a little bit of drainage that actually comes from Valley Vista onto our piece right here. So we need to accept that drainage. We can't just like push it back. So
there should be no drainage issues with this new development.
Yeah, there's not allowed to be. So our drainage engineer will need to demonstrate, and it'll be the same engineer who designed Valley Vista. So they already know how it all works in that area. These guys. So their drainage design that they'll submit after the rezoning to the town, the town will review that and analyze and make sure that they agree with all the calculations and agree with the finding that none of the improvements proposed on this piece will have a negative impact on anybody else outside the property.
I want to circle back to the houses 1 and 2. My house is 1 in Valley Vista. I'm right there.
Yeah.
And we're 2.
So that just, it concerns me because those two homes are awfully close. And the direction they face, I take it as the other way, but they're kind of sideways. So I already have issues with privacy, with the road right there. I have lighting issues, people walking. I have lots of privacy issues for my backyard. So with those two houses right there, I'm even more screwed, if you will, with being, more exposed to the public. So if you could tell me a little bit about those houses, and you did say the one on the end cannot be a two-story, but both of them cannot be two-story. They're both one-story homes.
Correct. Yeah.
And which way are they facing?
So the way we've got them drawn, don't want to use that, they're facing in that direction. So basically straight north towards Moore Road, Moore Loop.
Right into
our yard.
Right into my yard.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. If that was your house right down below, I don't think you'd be happy about it. So
one thing, they are also, those lots are, that berm behind your house, what would you say that is, 10, 15 feet tall?
I can see directly above there, though. I mean, I can see people try to walk. I've seen coyotes up there. Every little thing I see, and you can see right down into my property, right from that road.
Mm-hmm.
I've, planted a tree. I have blackout shades, everything that you could think of, and I'm still very exposed. So two more houses right there really put me in the line of fire of more exposure. So I just have an issue with those two houses for sure.
Okay. Well, one thing we can do, it's really number two that I think creates. So we can look at rotating those a little bit further, like perpendicular, so they're looking more that way.
Are these houses 155 feet from the back of my home, lot 2? No way.
At least.
Well, you said that the closest they would be is about 155 feet. So you're telling me that your number 1 and your number 2 are going to be 155 feet away from Pulte's Valley Vista 1 and 2? No.
No. This 155 is really aimed at that. You're correct. Number two is a little bit closer. So what we can do is we can look at rotating one and two more and maybe putting a slightly taller backyard wall that most people can't look over. We could look at doing that.
I have an idea. One and two could go down the end of the open space beside number 42.
Rather than my backyard. It's not that exciting, trust me.
The other thing is that this piece of property here that you have, which initially enter in there, that those lots are 50 or 60 feet. That part of your property is 50 or 60 feet above our backyard. So how are you going to stop people from seeing us?
You're talking 50 or 60 feet higher?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
In a home. I know.
I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I've looked at the terrain on here. So are you talking about these lots back here?
Your lot 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Is 50 feet above Pulte's Valley Vista 1 and 2.
I think at most it's about 20.
Huh?
Not trying to argue, but I'm just
come out and look.
I've been there, sir. I'm looking at the terrain here. So those dark dashed lines are 5 foot contours, and I see three of them. So that means there's probably a little on either side. So it's about a 20 foot drop, right at that corner, and then it goes up further back into the property for sure. But I think that lot two there. Would be about 20 feet higher in elevation. And so, yes, sir. Yeah, I've been out there. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
We're going to move on to the next folks, just to make sure that there are any questions. Looks like we've got one in the back. Again, if you're online on Zoom, I don't see any hands raised at this time, but if you'd like to raise your hand virtually, we'll be able to call on you as well.
Earlier you talked about going out there with poles, and I missed what the results are. Could you see the poles at all those different sites from those lots or not?
Sure. So we, after our first neighborhood meeting, we offered to meet anybody who wanted to meet with us out in their backyards and hold up poles that represented the maximum heights of the potential homes behind each of those lots. I think we met with, I don't remember. I have written down four, but I think there was somebody else who wandered over. But at any rate, you could see the poles, but the result was, I've actually got a couple of pictures. So, this picture on the bottom, let me orient you. I'm sorry. So, This southeasternmost lot, okay, it was taken from right behind that lot. And so we put a pole right there, which represents the closest two-story home. And so there's the pole. So there's the bottom of the pole. So you can see how far it comes up. It comes up a little bit higher than the ridge here, but it doesn't have an impact on the push ridge views. And if you were looking for a council representative, that was Council Member Bowen, who you can talk to about it. There's that pole. So this is basically right behind your house. And you can see that pole goes up to here. Yeah, it's very small. Point is, it's not right on top of you. That's a 30-foot pole out there. Yeah, it's a white PVC pole. It's not there, but it's there in the picture. So.
I'm new to development, other than owning a new home. what's the time frame for this to take place? And how long do you get to build all these homes before the city says, you got to be done? You know, is there a year program? Is there a two-year program, three-year program? Sure. What are you looking at?
Yeah, no, good question. So just to clarify roles, so I just handle the zoning and the site planning, and then my client who owns the property, they will sell it to a home builder. Typically what happens is they go under contract, and then the home builder pays for and handles all of the engineering that's necessary, and then they actually buy it when the engineering and the plat gets approved, and then they can start construction. So that typically takes about a year, and that won't start until after, if this rezoning is approved, then the engineering happens. So, you know, 18 months to 2 years is probably a reasonable estimate for potential start. The home builder doesn't want to be holding on to unsold land any longer than they have to. So it depends on the market. But I think that Valley Vista went pretty quick. If I remember hearing them, they were selling, 5 to 8 per month or something like that. But it varied. So the idea would be to be, you know, done selling in a year or less.
So does the city approve the builder? No. So it might be Pulte, it might be Lennar, it might be Madame A, it might be someone. I have no idea who it could be.
Correct.
So we don't even know what kind of price range you're looking at to put these homes up.
Well, I can tell you that the land and construction have both gotten significantly more expensive since Valley Vista was put in, and the dollar's worth less. So I think it's a very safe assumption that these will have starting prices that are stronger than Valley Vista's starting prices. Never mind a potential two-story. Even if it was all one-story, I think the starting would be higher just because of the economics of today. Yeah.
All right, let's go to this gentleman over here.
Yeah, one of the issues that came up by mentioned by a number of people at the first neighborhood meeting was the two-story issue, and it appears to be a very big concern here. I understand that the medium zoning density allows for two-story, but in the process of approving that zoning change, can you put a stipulation on the project that only one-story houses can be built? Is that an option to do? And if it is, I would strongly recommend that Oral Valley do that. It was a very big issue at the first meeting. It looks like it's a big issue here, too.
Yes, yeah, so to answer that question, yes, that is something. Staff can make a recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Commission, who in turn could make a recommendation to the Town Council, and Town Council could either accept those recommendations or independently make such a recommendation or a require for that for a rezoning condition.
I'd like to reiterate something you and I talked about, and I know that you're representing X, and X will turn it over to builders 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I'm going to the point that lots 19, the pump station, and lots 20 in Pulte, not yours, Pulte. I know you're aware of what's going on because we talked about it. Oral Valley sure as heck should be aware of what's going on because my first question is the engineers have to certify the property that you want to build on as buildable. Is that a correct statement?
Generally speaking, yeah. I mean, we can go into more detail on
that. Okay, that's cool. Secondly, the reason I'm bringing it up is because for some of the people may not know what's happening at 19, the pump station, and 20. I talked with a Pima gentleman yesterday that handles the pump station, and the reason I want to reiterate it to you as the host is because not only is property 19 having to be piered or lifted, if you will, I found out what piered means. I know you know what it means, but they're doing their drilling and lifting it up and blah, blah, blah. The pump station gentleman told me that the pump station has spots in it that are 3 inches below tolerance right now. So they don't know what they're going to do with pump station one or pump station. I don't know what its numerical value is. There's another pump station up the road above somewhere in your property area. But the people that you're going to take information back to sure should know that right now Pool Day is putting out one heck of a lot of money for 19 and 20 because they're peering both, and I live next door to 19, they're peering both those houses to upward to $500,000. So I'm a logical person. I don't know why somebody would want to build with overhead views that shows the area I'm talking about has sunk and is continuing to sink. Because it's a crapshoot for what you're trying to build on. So all I'd like to have you do is take it to your people.
Yeah, no, and I really appreciate you bringing that up last time. So my understanding of the issue, and I did mention it to the engineers, so they'll certainly be aware of it. My understanding of the issue is that basically this corner of Valley Vista is all built on fill dirt. So they brought dirt in. Probably scraped it off of this part and pushed it over to there. So typically when you have failures like that, it is an issue of soil compaction or soil moisture or some combination, right? So the geotechnical engineer that I know is out there working on this, whichever geotech the builder gets to design the soil recommendations, because they have recommendations on how much to compact it, what the soil mixture has to be and everything. I am positive that they are going to take this issue into consideration and make very robust recommendations on how to handle that soil so that it's putting them at the least risk possible. So it's good to know, and I appreciate you bringing it up, and it's something that the geotech, and I'm sure the town will take a look at that too, because we have to submit the geotech report with the plat. And so I'm guessing that town engineering will take a look at that, knowing this issue, to see whether the recommendations for soil treatment are standard or if they've been strengthened in light of this other issue.
Yeah, and I can absolutely speak to that quickly. I would like to say that our stormwater department is reviewing this application, obviously, or has reviewed this application, and we're also in contact during the review with Pima County, both their floodplain control division as well as their wastewater. So we've been in contact with both Pima County and been in discussions with them regarding this project and their associated wash to the east, as well as with our internal departments who are reviewing those reports as they come in.
Hey, gang, sorry to jump back in. Buyer Vela, planning manager. I want to make sure everyone truly understands the process, because you asked earlier about is the time now or is it later in terms of these types of arrangements, whether it's one story or two story. The time's now. And as Mr. Kyle Packer explained, you'll be invited to the Planning, Zoning Commission and Town Council to provide this kind of testimony to ask, hey, I would like to see these lots be one story. And here's why. Mr. Olin will be afforded the opportunity to make his case as well. And then ultimately, town council, when they get it, they have ultimate authority to be able to say, well, this sounds reasonable, this doesn't, how about this, how about that, and make it a requirement. So just so you guys understand the process and your ability to effectuate change. Our hope is that change can happen now, early. So Eric can walk into the public hearing with some assurity, right? Because out of the neighborhood meeting, it's in someone else's control in terms of decision-making. So it makes sense, if you can, make arrangements now. And you guys have had some really good conversations. What I want to, at a minimum, be able to leave from this meeting is understanding which lots are you talking about in terms of where you want one stories. And it, does Mr. Olin agree to any of those? There was also some quality discussion that I hope we don't lose. There was talk about potentially moving two lots to somewhere else. I don't know the site plan well enough to know which ones you're talking about. But that conversation bounced into something else. So I want to encourage you all, and Mr. Packer, to explore those two areas more. Because that seems like the key areas. Which lots do you feel should be one story? And if, you know, if Mr. Olin's willing to provide any concessions there or not. Then secondly, and trying to be reasonable, and secondly, the idea of lot shifts, okay? I don't think that entirely got fleshed out. So, please.
In response to his statement here, okay, the time to voice your opinions now. So I'm going to voice my opinion and tell you lot one and two need to go away and be put someplace else in your development. That's my first thing, okay? And the second thing I have here is a question. I'm looking at your plan, and it says that these B circles are a schematic basin location. Mm-hmm. What is that?
So as part of our drainage plan, just like Valley Vista, we need to take the water that's coming onto site, route it through the site, and then let it go. And one of the requirements of that is that we have to take it just as it's coming, and we have to let it go just as it's currently going. We're not allowed to concentrate it all in one spot and shoot it out at a much higher velocity than it's going today, because that would be erosive, and that could damage a downstream property. So what we do, just like what we did at Valley Vista, is try to spread small, shallow basins around the development. There's one right there, for example, where stormwater is routed to it, slows it down there, and then it drains out via smaller pipes. Yeah, so that it gets to where it needs to go, but it doesn't get there any faster than it's getting today. But it also has to drain, I think, within 24 hours. Is that the 12 hours? Within 12 hours, it has to be empty in 12 hours. So it can't just be standing water. So to answer your question, during the rezoning phase, we don't get into super tight engineering detail in terms of exactly how the water is going to go. We know that we have those requirements to deal with. So what we show on the site plan are these little circles just to represent mostly to town drainage staff that we know that we're going to need to put little basins in here somewhere, and the drainage engineers will figure out how to route it through.
This plan only has 55 lots on it. When you showed the original thing today that said 56, where's the 56th lot?
The 56th lot was actually on the old plan. You're correct. This one only has 55. Yeah, this one only has 55. The one I showed at the last neighborhood meeting had 56. So I misspoke earlier. But we have one fewer lot now. What I would like to do is I think we can rotate them so that they are not viewing anywhere near the existing homes. They would be looking northwest, up the hill toward Moore Loop. We can certainly rotate those. It doesn't really work to put them further south of 42, just because the floodplain over there, you can tell kind of the angle here. We're pushing out into the floodplain a little bit more. And if we push more,
What is the advantage of someone buying one and two when they're going to be looking at a rock wall that has a drainage area? That to me, that's not an enticing way to try to sell a piece of property. It seems to me you'd be better off getting rid of it to appease the neighborhood than to try to jack it around.
Well, the other thing is, it looks like it looks like you squeezed two extra homes on in the property when the entire development is on the other side of the road.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. I appreciate that's why it looks that way. So the reason that it's drawn that way is because where we bring the road in right there is fairly fixed. You can see on the old site plan. So what we see here is developable land. What if I take off lot two? Lot one is and rotate lot one so that it is it would meet that same 155-foot minimum that all the rest of them do. So one, if I delete lot two and lot one faces in, yeah, eliminate lot two and rotate lot one away from your house. Maybe down here at the end, as he suggested. What I'm proposing is to put, I know it's difficult down there. It's difficult. The design gets very difficult down here, which is why we stopped it. There's increased grading and drainage issues down there. The other issue, which is why we can't just, so I mean, see, the zoning, I mean, I would love to just take this row of lots and bring it all the way down to there to follow the existing school zoning. The problem is that the sewer for these lots drains up to the lift station, and we're lower than the lift station, so we can't go too far down the hill before we can't get the sewage back to the lift station. Even more, right? And so when we designed this lift station, we actually designed it to accommodate a middle school, so it's big compared to what it needs to be. But we also designed it, it's extra deep, because when we were working with Amphi School District, they told us, well, we'll probably have a building down here, and that'll be our furthest, our lowest building. And so when we designed that lift station, we made it big enough and deep enough to accommodate flow from a big school building there back up. So point is, we can't just keep tromping lots further and further down the hill, because it stops being able to be served by that lift station.
Why can't lot one go across the street where it's open and lot two go down at the bottom? And then you've got no homes on the Valley Vista side of the road. It's all open green space.
Well, it's expensive land, just like Valley Vista was. This spot over here is actually an access drive for Oro Valley Water, so it's not available for a lot. So if I took off one and two, would you be happy and you'd come support me? If I took off lots one and two, would... Okay.
Venture.
Okay.
But one and two is no bueno.
Got it.
And this poor girl's arm is breaking.
Yeah, well, you know, I have two questions. So back to the one and two, you know, I have an issue with that as well. And I would, you know, like the courtesy, you could come to my house, because it's a very different view from where this gentleman, his house in 19, rather than mine. You think because I have that steep rock climb up there, I can still see the houses, the two-story houses. When they were doing roofing work, I could see the roofers on those houses in Horizon. So the view is, it's not what you think or what you might imagine until you're in my backyard. So anyway, having said that, anyway, you're welcome to come by my house and check it out and see what I'm talking about. And also, I had a question about the road. When they turn in, they're coming down the entrance for that property. Is there a medium in Moore?
Yes.
Are you going to open that up? What's going to happen with that?
Yes.
With the traffic? Because, like I said, I get a lot of traffic coming through my bedroom window and traffic lights. So that's a big...
Okay.
All right, we'll finish the discussion on the lots. How about I delete lots 1 and 2?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Done.
That satisfies that.
Okay. Yep. In terms of the traffic,
yeah.
When we designed Moore Loop, it was designed with a median there, and knowing that Amvi School District was going to have a school access.
Uh-huh.
So the median was designed wide enough to allow a left turn lane to be installed. So that's what we're going to do. So,
all right, at this point, we're going to go back to that conversation about, I think, the two lots in particular. And then I see that we have a phone, we have a Zoom caller. So after we kind of bookend that discussion, we're going to go to the Zoom caller.
Okay. I already agreed to take them off.
Okay. All right, at this time, we're going to, can I ask that the 864-205 phone number is unmuted?
Hello?
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay, great. So I just have a few questions in reference to the lot width. I may have missed this. I wasn't able to get on the call earlier. Is there, I know that some of these are obviously different shaped, but what is the standard lot width?
The standard lot width is 50 feet, just like Valley Vista.
Okay, great. And then to piggyback onto what a couple of people were saying in reference to this issue with the soil settlement, you know, something that wasn't said is that it appears that, and you had mentioned this, that they had put fill dirt in over the wash, and it looks like the homes along the back edge, you know, butting up against the Honeybee Wash, I think that's the name of it. I could be wrong about that.
Big Wash.
The Big Wash, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. The Big Wash there, that there are some, you know, basically an underground river flow system where the water is somehow, whether it's just from that wash or from the higher topography above this area, is flowing out. And so... you know, one of the big concerns that I think that Oral Valley should have about this neighborhood is further stressing out local residents who already live in the area, but also bringing people in who may be completely ignorant to the fact that there is some serious issues going on. You know, I own a house very close to where the issue is, and we have yet to have an issue. But obviously, with the continual sinking and the changes happening in the lift station, I just can't believe that somebody would buy off on this and you know, go into something and create a problem where it just doesn't make sense to create a problem. So I just want to make that comment about that so that the Oro Valley folks listening to this understand that this is not just a house that the land didn't get compacted properly. There appears to be more going on. There were, you know, very technical engineering tests done on the earth in that area. And now they're having to pier those two houses in order to, you know, keep them from sinking further. And then if we have a sinking lift station, and now we're going to be sending 55 or however many additional lots we're talking about to this lift station, that's going to create more burden on the lift station itself, as well as disturbing soil more by you know, grading these lots. So I just want to bring that up. And then I have one more question. So that's just more of a comment versus someone to be able to answer that. But I also want to mention that nobody wants to see two stories, whether they're 50 feet or beyond a road. None of this area has two-story homes in Valley Vista. That was part of the reason to purchase in the neighborhood. It is a trend, in housing to avoid two stories. They don't have the same desire for the most part as ranch style homes. So just expressing that again, I know that's a hot button for many people. So on the cul-de-sac at the corner closest to the lift station, is that property? I think it's 23, if I'm viewing it correctly. Is 23 or 22 allowed to be a two-story, considering it's kind of a pseudo corner?
No.
No. Okay, great. Well, again, thank you for answering that. But I, again, just wanted to emphasize that I think that adding two stories to this neighborhood is a real mistake.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. We're going to have our engineering department give a quick response there, and then I think we're going to move back to the discussion on the single-story homes, see if we can drive a little bit closer towards that discussion. I do notice that we have one more Zoom caller, so hopefully after we've kind of moved a little bit forward on that one-story home discussion and the locations of those, we'll be able to get to you, Keith, on Zoom. I see you there.
All right. Good evening. My name is David. I'm an engineer for the town. I do work with our engineers as well. I just wanted to clarify the process for this type of project on the geotechnical side. So as this project moves forward, if it moves forward, they will be required to submit a geotechnical analysis. So that analysis is done by a professional engineer who specializes in that type of thing. They do typically coring into the ground, so they don't just sample, you know, what you see. They actually sample what you don't see. And with that, they make a lot of recommendations. Valley Vista had the same thing. Typically, with those studies, there's a lot of recommendations in terms of how to make that soil stable. They may require over-excavation and putting in engineered fill. Compaction is always a requirement. The first step in the process is they do the analysis. They provide a report with recommendations. That really sets the stage for how the subdivision is constructed, for how the homes are constructed, your foundation system for the house. That's all predetermined by the geotechnical engineer. As that project goes into the construction phase, there's a lot of testing that happens. The contractor is having to meet specific requirements set by the geotechnical engineer. For compaction and a lot of other things. There's a lot of testing that happens for a project like this. We get stacks of reports and testing results. So with all that being said, you know, when we have a spotlight issue like this, we're going to look at it even more closely. Geotechnical engineering community is very small. They all know that this is an issue in this area. I guarantee you that when they design for this project, they're going to look at it that much more closely because there's a liability there for that engineer to make sure it's done correctly. No one wants to go in after the fact and fix a house. They want to make sure it's done right from the get-go. So I just want to make sure you guys understand, we as the town know of this issue. As this project moves forward, we're going to look at it much more closely just to make sure that they've overanalyzed this corner of that property. So just wanted to make sure you guys understood that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Laws. All right, at this time, again, we're going to try and move the discussion back towards just that discussion on the location of single-story homes. So if you have a comment regarding that, please raise your hand. And looks like we've got a fellow right here.
Yes, and this will be my last comment because I know I've bored you to death. If you, Mr. Olaf, have the power to scratch one and two just like that, like Jeannie used to do, why can't you make it happen that they're all one story only? Because up there at the board I'm reading, applicant will remove lots one and two. Underneath it should go, applicant will certify that all homes in this 55 lot project will be one story.
Yeah,
now, so I know I probably put you
that's okay
on the spot, but you know, obviously you're going to see us again, and Oro Valley is going to see us again, and I really appreciate this gentleman back here because he said we have a chance to voice our worries, and it's kind of like, you know, we can't be muted because if we're muted, it's our fault.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I don't mind being put on the spot. I've been rezoning properties in Oro Valley for over 20 years, so I get it. I have some flexibility,
If I say I'm going to take lots 1 and 2 off of that location, I'm going to get yelled at, but I've been yelled at before. If I say I'm going to do all one story, I'm going to get fired because that's a much bigger hit to the project. So I can take a change like, listen, we need to, lots 1 and 2 don't work right there, right? If we can add, you know, add one back next to 12 or add one back next to 42 or something, but get them off of that location, I can make that case to the property owner. But especially with the trend with home builders, it's like they're going in two different directions, right? In places like I'm working with one down on the southwest side of Tucson, and he told me right now that they're corporately looking at 15 and 20 foot wide homes to solve the affordability issue, right? Well, you don't build those in Oro Valley. So in Oro Valley, the trend is to go bigger. In Oro Valley, the home builders are telling me that your average buyer is wanting a larger house, more square footage, because more activities happen at home now than ever have in the past, at least since the Industrial Revolution. I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. Point is, larger homes are in demand in high value areas like Oro Valley. So whereas I can say, I'll commit to taking these two lots, and if I can recoup them somewhere else that doesn't have an impact on the neighbors, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'll just take two. It'll be a 53-lot subdivision instead of 55. I can do that, but I can't agree to making them all one story.
You would think that whoever is going to buy this project, you would think that they have enough common sense. The brand-new project that's going in Honeybee Canyon by Poolte, I think you're probably aware of that. There's like 226 homes, I think. They're all one story. So like, and we're beating a dead horse because you know, I know, the people in this room know that all around Poolte Phase 1, Poolte Phase 2, it's all one story. And that to me, when the owners are loud and clear, and we'll give you your concession, I don't want you fired, but you've got to be a representative for us too. I know it's a double-bladed sword for you, but you can't go home at the end of this meeting and say, well, screw them, I'm going to go where the money goes. Unfortunately, that's the way the world works.
Yeah, and I hope that's not the message. I mean, the message here is we heard some concerns and a suggestion to completely redo the site plan at the first meeting, and that's what we did. And as it turns out, I think it's a better design. It's got one less lot. But... you know, I hear you, right? And I've already made a significant change to this plan. I'm talking about taking these lots and trying to put them somewhere else, but certainly leaving them not there. It's not a, hey, screw you, buddy. It's, I hear you, and I can make certain changes. This is a fairly constrained site, so my options are a little bit limited. Not only is there topography, but there's also slopes and drainage. So what I'm telling you is I can flip the plan and agree to that. I can take those two lots and see if I can put them somewhere else. And if not, I'll just delete them. And I can tell you that a number of these lots are going to be one story automatically by town code. And depending on which builder buys this, if Pulte buys this and they still want to do one story, then it's all going to be one story. If we agree to that, then all of a sudden we cut down our potential buyers in half, because half of them do want to do a two story. Yeah.
I'll take just a quick moment here just to give you guys a brief understanding of what we're going to be doing next. We're going to keep this conversation regarding the lots and the single story moving forward. Sounds like there's some grounds between... obviously, none doesn't sound like it's an offer on the table. However, there may be some discussion about kind of a compromise between some and all. However, I do want to let the folks that are online No, we are planning to go a little bit later tonight, so we'll keep going until we've addressed other comments, but first we're going to try and wrap up a possible discussion on these, on the one-story issue here.
Yeah, so I want to go back to the wall issue. So you were saying that you could maybe raise that. Is that something that you could commit to, the raising the wall behind those houses back there? Because like I said, even, you know, the lights and all that stuff, still I appreciate the removal of those two homes or those two lots, but I still think there'll be some issues with the houses being up there with the lighting and privacy.
Just to clarify, is this a proposal that you would see in place of a restriction on two-story homes? Is this
Regardless, I mean, he said that they're planning on doing a 5-foot wall, which I don't think is enough. I think something, you know, in like a 6 to 8 foot wall would be back there with, you know, in respect to the houses down below, is kind of where I'm coming from with that.
Yeah, we could make that wall taller. Yeah. I think 5 feet. I'm thinking about average headlight height.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that 5 feet would do it. So.
But not even just that, with the houses up there, with, you know, any lighting up there from the homes. You know what I'm saying?
I do. So
I don't know.
Here, I think I have something that might help.
Okay.
So this is, where are we, lot 9. Sorry, I forgot I had this slide. So this the slide that I'm going to go to, is looking right there. So just for reference.
Sure.
So this is the Valley Vista home. This is the Valley Vista home. This is our proposed home up here. And so this home here starts out about 9 feet higher than this home, just in terms of the slab elevation. These two have about 160 feet from here to the house. And with a 5-foot wall right here, what I'm seeing is that somebody in their backyard would actually, let me use the little arrow guy. So that's a straight line. So you'd see over your wall, and you'd basically be able to see the roof of one of the proposed homes over a 5-foot wall. If we made that wall taller, come on, then, you know, basically you'd see less and less. So, you know, if we made this wall taller, then it would cut it off. But I think at 5 feet, given the elevation differences, you're typically going to see the roof, some of the roof. But, you know, we can make that wall taller. I think that you start going 6, 7, 8 feet, and that starts to be kind of an eyesore for everybody.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. So that's why I picked 5.
Well, I think I'm a little bit closer than the house that you're displaying right there.
Not anymore.
And in respect to, you know, we don't have block walls behind our homes right there.
No.
They're mostly, you know, they're open. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
sure.
Just a lot of exposure, in my opinion. And that's why I bought the house. I just felt like, you know, where it was, it didn't seem like, you know, anything was going to be built right there. And I felt okay with that. But I understand that, you know, it's property. You're going to build on it. But.
Well, so a couple things. One is, I guess I wasn't really thinking about your block wall as providing any screening. I was just thinking about if you're standing in your backyard, right, looking over a 5-foot wall, that's about what it is. Looking over, I don't know,
I mean, this is obviously impossible to really figure out on PowerPoint, but you'll see some of the roof or none of the roof if it's taller. And I mean, of course, so I don't know what your realtor told you, but a school was going to be there. Okay. So
let's move to the gentleman.
That's showing a one-story house on the new side, right?
No, this is showing a 30-foot house.
That's a 30-foot house right there on the
That's
drawing.
A two-story.
Okay.
Yeah, which actually wouldn't be on this particular lot because this is an end lot.
Next one over, those neighbors would have
exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to draw one story over here and pretend like that was representative.
Okay.
So no, absolutely, that's 30, 40.
I want to circle back to what he was talking about with the one-story homes, and you know, impacting the value of your property owner's development and his profit. We live in a Pulte one-story home. In Valley Vista on the 60 by 100 lot.
50.
The home's 2,987 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find too many two-story homes that you're going to build. They're going to be very much bigger than that.
Totally agree with you.
Pardon me?
I totally agree with you.
You don't agree?
No, I totally agree with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that on the lot size that you're proposing, okay, the builder can put 3,000 square feet on there, no problem.
You're right.
Okay. And so that's something you can take back to your property owner.
Yeah, no, he's aware. I mean, we made this the same size lots as Valley Vista on purpose, right? If you're looking at just, you know, differences in zoning or compatibility, but like I said, people, if they can get the square footage they want on one story, they'll buy it. I want to keep the options open for a potential builder who might want to build something in, you know, 3,500, 3,800 maybe. It's not going to be 5,000.
What I'm saying is that a one-story home, you're not going to lose X amount of dollars because you're going one story that they're buildable on those lots. Thank you.
Right, I think we're going to quickly move to a few of the folks on Zoom. So at this time, I'd like to ask that Keith is unmuted.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey there, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah, nothing really new to add, but just since we're, you know, we have the chance to speak our mind now, just, you know, want to reiterate the concerns with the two-story homes. And you know, I thought Jerry actually had a great idea for a potential concession where, you know, if some of these lots, the ones that backed up to Rancho Vista, I know one and two are gone now and three can't be a two-story, but the ones that could between 4 and 22, you know, I think if we said that row of houses was single story and there is, you know, two-story option for the rest of the development, you know, I think that could potentially go a long way. I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone else, but. Sorry. Apparently someone's here. But yeah, so that's all I had. No questions necessarily, but just a comment.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. Do you have a response to that, Mr. Roland?
No, I already said what my limitations are on the two stories.
Okay. All righty. At this time, I'd like to ask that Holly is unmuted.
Hi there, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I worked on the builder side for 20 years, and I just was going to point out, just for the point of pointing it out, maybe to the audience or to you, that like Pulte doesn't buy developed land. They don't make a practice of buying it. In fact, when they do, they fail miserably with what goes on, probably profitability, but also the ability to control what they're doing. So just from understanding what could happen to it, I kind of know that it probably won't be Pulte that would buy there, especially as you pointed out, Pulte does do typically single stories in that area and in most of their new developments. So I think a gentleman in the audience said that it could be 3,000 square foot two-story, and it definitely could. And I know that most of the reason for all of that is profitability. So, you know, there's not necessarily any less or more demand. That's not a valid argument, at least from my standpoint. It has to do 100% with profitability. And that's why you want to offer that product. And obviously, I get that. But it's not conforming with what the neighborhoods around there are. It's not conforming with Valley Vista, and that's all single story. And most of Oro Valley in that area is single story or becoming single story. And I would like to just point out that it's ill adapted and not conforming with that. And I think that Oro Valley needs to consider that.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Roland.
Sure. Just a couple things. So Pulte is one of the builders we're talking to. They built to the north on the same size lots. They're very interested in this property as well. So they absolutely are on the table. And then if I understood you correctly, it sounded like you were suggesting that building 3,000 square feet on a two-story home would be more profitable than building 3,000 square feet as a one-story home. Did I understand that point correctly?
Pardon me, if we can have Holly unmuted again.
Thanks. No, I wasn't speaking to single story versus two story being less or more profitable, just more square footage.
Okay. I guess I'm not sure what the question is, but to this gentleman's point, Pulte built 3,000 square foot homes on single story. And
are you working for Pulte in the development? Because that would make sense that they would be interested in working with you, but I'm just trying to.
I'm working for the landowner right now.
Okay.
Pulte is one of the home builders we're talking to who's interested in this property, but I guess I just want to make it clear that building a one-story home at 3,000 square feet is going to be better for the buyer and for the builder than building a two-story home of the same square footage. So point is they can fit 3,000 square foot homes on these lots at single story. And if a builder who wants to do that buys the property, then I'm sure that's what they'll do.
Sure, but your limitation in not allowing it to be all single story is okay. Why?
No, it's not a lie.
No, I said is why. Oh. I didn't say a lie
okay,
at
I'm
all.
Sorry.
Why is your limitation in not doing all single story? What is the limitation there? What is the reason?
Sure. So I understand your question. So I'm not saying that it must be a mix of one and two stories. I'm saying it can either be all single story or it can be a mix. I'm not locking us into absolutely having two-story homes as part of this. I'm just proposing that we leave the option open for a builder who might want to build some two stories. But a builder may come in who only wants to do single story, and that would be totally permitted according to what I'm proposing. So I'm not arguing that we have to have twos. I'm leaving the option open for a mix or all single story. Does that clear it up?
We have had Holly muted again, so I think that answered a question. If not, feel free to raise your hand again, Holly, and we'll come back to you. I'd like to just one more time, if there's an issue that we haven't kind of raised tonight that you would like to speak to at this time, feel free to raise your hand either online or in person here. Doesn't sound like it. Are there any remaining comments on some of the issues that we have touched on tonight? So we've got one here.
I'm just very happy that you've acquiesced to lot one and two. I think that's progress in terms of what we're going towards, and we'll continue to make progress as the transition goes from one stage of the development to the next.
Yeah, the industry term for that is chiseling.
Alrighty, well, at this time, hearing no more comments here in the audience with us in Town Hall or seeing any raised hands online, I'd like to go ahead and start wrapping the meeting up. So I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. The next step for this project will be, depending on the revisions that the applicant needs to make, will be a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Be moving forward with that. And if you have any additional, let me get these cleared out here. Again, tentatively scheduled for June 6th with that Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. We may change that date based on the revisions that the applicant will make based on discussions tonight. So you'll be updated with that information as it becomes available. And again, if you have any questions, if you need to sign up to get the yellow postcard for our next public meeting or public hearing on this event, you can reach out to ask@orovalleyaz.gov. My card is available up front. And again, I'd like to thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you. Pleasure doing business with you.